God's word today. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. Verse 16, Isaiah 63:16. But you are our father, though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us. You, Lord, are our father. Our redeemer from of old is your name. But you are our father, though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us. You, Lord, are our father. Our redeemer from of old is your name. And then John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So most of us have this memorized as we learned this in Sunday school. So once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God is love. God is love. God is love. God's love is eternal. And in order to reveal his love, he does this very assertively. People may doubt and say, only if I receive it and experience it can I know this love. But they ought not to doubt, because God throughout the ages and history in various ways and methods throughout the times, he revealed his love to us. Our faith is to receive the love of God fully, and our faith life is to love God and love those whom he loves. So it is to love God and also love those whom he loves. And this is the life of faith we ought to live. In John 15:12, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So if you believe in his love and have received it, then you ought to love those he loves. Love is something that brings us strength to live on and happiness. People love the emotion of love, and it is a very unique characteristic of humans. So humans alone have this emotion called love. Animals, so people may say, don't the animals love their babies since they provide milk? And if there are any threats by predators or other animals, they do all they can to protect their babies. So people say that don't animals have this emotion of love? However, rather than love, it's an innate tendency to protect. So it's a survival instinct or self-defense mechanism. So whether they change the color of their skin or through other methods, it's not love, it's instinct. However, humans are comprised of emotion, intelligence, and free will. And the emotion of love is a unique characteristic of humans, and it's what makes human human and what brings happiness and joy. So it's the condition that makes humans the happiest. And because of love, throughout the history of mankind, we see that there are many beautiful stories. It is a topic of many novels and movies, of art and music. And people are touched and moved by this emotion of love, and they therefore are moved to resolve to love. So it's a very great characteristic. It's a very great element and condition. But the Bible tells us that God is love, that love amongst humans is also love, but it's only temporary and it's emotional. But the love of God is eternal. So if you are to speak of love, then you must talk of the love of God, as there is no other perfect love than that of the love of God. So God is love, He is love in essence. Of his many attributes, this attribute is used to form relationships with men, and it's an attribute of God and a representative one. But it's representative meaning that not only is his attribute love, but his attributes also include hate and righteousness, as he punishes and he judges for those who do wrong, for those who do wicked. But also with love, he does not spare or hold back, but desires to reveal it to us, for us to experience. So the Bible is the story of God's love. It is a story of God's love amongst many authors. The topic is of love, and throughout the generations, this love, this topic, many people seek such stories to read. But incomparable to any of this, and far greater, is the love of God. And it's not just any story amongst humans or expression amongst humans, but before that, we must know the love of God and that it comes from Him. So in order to know this love, you must experience it amongst humans as well. Isn't that correct? So if an expert of love, he repents and turns back, then he will do very well. So God is love. The Bible contains stories of God's love and how God created men to be objects of this love. The Bible speaks of how God revealed His love and how He put effort for us to know it. So His effort and schedule for men to know and to receive His love is included in the dispensation of God. And so God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created man. So what do you think God looks like? Look at one another. Does He look like him or her? Maybe you're doubting. So maybe not to us, but in the eyes of God, we are all precious and we are made in His image. So aren't you satisfied with this? So God created man in His image, and to reveal and signify this, He created us to love. And He blessed us to rule over all things and creation, and that's how He expressed His love to us. And not only that, but more importantly, He created man to become a living being, a spiritual being, meaning it's the spirit with the flesh. So when the flesh dies, it returns to dust, but the spirit is eternal and it lives on, and is the spirit with the flesh. I am Adam. I am a living being. I am a soul. Throughout the whole year, that is what we have heard, that I am a soul, meaning we are objects of God's eternal love. We can know that we're made as objects of His love from the fact we're created as spiritual beings. The reason for your birth, is to receive the love of God. To receive the love of God is why I am born. So if you believe this, then there will be no such thing as belittling yourself or even taking your own life. For we are created as objects of God's love. And though our flesh dies and returns to death, but in order to love us forever, He created our souls. So regardless of our flesh, what it looks like, or what happens, He created souls to love eternally. And by this, we are to be touched and moved. So the history of the Bible is the dispensation of God. And we see that in the Garden of Eden, Adam lived, who was made as the object to receive God's love. So he was the living being and was allowed to eat of anything except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he was not to eat that fruit. So God loved him and allowed him to enjoy and rule over everything, but he was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent, the devil, approached Eve, tempting her, saying that, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? She replied, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So the devil deceived her and said, you will not certainly die, leading her to resent and doubt the love of God. And as a result of eating the fruit and disobeying the word of God, sin entered, as well as the price of sin, death. And therefore, mankind was destined to be punished, to go to hell. But was this the end? No. Because soon afterwards, we see God's effort to reveal his love to us. So Adam, he sinned, and they were cast out from the Garden of Eden. They were banished from the garden. But we see that they were clothed in garments of skin. So they were clothed in garments of skins, which is made from killing an animal and taking its skin to clothe them. And what this signified is that someone will come to die like an animal to make a way for them to return back to God. And this was a foreshadow of what was to come. So within his plan, we see that he chose the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God chose Israel. And he, through their forefathers, the people of Israel became objects of God's love. So a covenant he made with Abraham, an oath he swore to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob as a decree. And it also says in the Bible that God loved their descendants. In Deuteronomy chapter 7:8, it mentions that he loved the descendants because he loved their forefathers. So because he loved their forefathers, he loved their descendants, the people of Israel. So they were enslaved in Egypt, but were liberated overnight as he sent Moses to free them. So they were redeemed and led out of Egypt. They were led out of Egypt and they entered the desert where they were given the law. So he gave them the law, and according to the times and seasons, they were to give certain offerings and sacrifices. And if they committed sin, they were to give sin offerings and were to give a sacrifice. If man sinned, they were supposed to pay the price of sin. But because God loved mankind, especially through their forefathers, he loved the people of Israel. That's why he gave the law for animals to die in man's place for the forgiveness of sin. And this was an expression of God's love towards mankind. And this is how we are to understand this. So in the place of man, an animal was to be put to death. And this was to show and let them experience the love of God for them and through their ancestors. So what he demanded and required from them was that because he has loved them. So how? Through the forefathers of Israel, he loved the descendants, the people of Israel. So God's expression of love was revealed through the sin offering. They were to be grateful for this and were to love him for this. And what he demanded and required from them was to love him with all their might and strength. And all they had was because he loved them. To love your Lord Jehovah and also to love your neighbor, and that's why they were given this command. As the people who received the love of God, we see there is a notable figure named David. He pleased God, but he also made many mistakes, but also many things to please him. Because God loved David, he also loved Solomon, who came from him. Because God loved his father David, he also loved his son Solomon. So he received so much love from God, perhaps the most love from God in the history of mankind. David, so he loved Jehovah God, the Lord. So the nation expanded its territories and conquered the neighboring nations and took in slaves and also concubines and their resources. So Solomon took many foreign women as his wives. There were many from these foreign nations, and as a result, this confused Solomon, because with such women came their gods. Solomon was to only love Jehovah and to keep the law given to him. However, through the love of these foreign women, so maybe Solomon was an expert in love, as he had so many people to love. Because of this, he took in their gods as well and gave a sacrifice to such gods. And then Nehemiah chapter 13:16 mentions how God was jealous of the desecration of the Sabbath. And because of this, though Israel was expanding and conquered other territories, and at that time was perhaps a superpower nation, they were ultimately, however, led to their destruction. So you all understand, you're following this history, right? So they were to only love the Lord Jehovah, and had they done so, their nation would have continued to prosper and grow. However, because they did not, we see their downfall. Because they had such a history, they held on to the hope that God loved his people, and as people chosen by God, they hoped that God would one day restore their nation and continue to expand it. They believed they were a blessed people and nation, and they were proud of this. So they were waiting for the Messiah to come for the restoration of their nation. And they were taken as captives by other nations, but those who came back and those who remained lived centered around the Temple of Jerusalem, holding on to the hope of restoration, and gave worship there. And before this very temple is where Yeshua appeared. So you have to pay attention. It seems like you're all busy with your moves for the praise competition. So this is the last Lord's Day worship for 2022. And to bring all the sermons together, and to really truly make it ours, we have to make this that one. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. So Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. What was in the temple of Jerusalem? It was the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah is what kind of God? He is the God of Israel, the God who loved the people of Israel through their forefathers. So many churches these days say, Jehovah, 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 but that time has come to an end. We are no longer in that era. When Jesus Christ appeared and said to destroy the temple, it would no longer be in the name of Jehovah, who gave covenant and decrees to their forefathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What he promised to Israel as an expression of his love was what? Was that if they sinned, then in their place, if they gave Adam a sacrifice, they would be forgiven of sins. This was the promise they were given. So repeat that to one another. So as God loved the Israelites, he gave them the law, of which one was to give an animal sacrifice for their sins, so it would become a ransom. But when Jesus Christ said to destroy the temple, he meant, now I have come, meaning the only begotten Son had come, the one and only Son had come. So no longer would it just be the Israelites and their descendants, but he would love the souls of all nations and mankind. That I, the one and only Son, will become the ransom. Amen. So that's why the Temple of Jerusalem was to be destroyed. And what he was referring to was the temple of his body, about his death and resurrection. So the temple of the body of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, it's what he meant when he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So the death and resurrection, I will destroy this temple and raise it back up. The body of Jesus is also the temple, as it contains the name of God. Amen. He's the holy temple containing the name of God. Because God loved mankind, in their place, he'd sacrifice his one and only Son, who would become the ransom for all mankind. So he would make this great sacrifice to love mankind forever and ever. Matthew chapter 20:28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he would give his life as a ransom for many to serve. And so now let's look at the process of how God revealed his love. So God created Adam, and how God created Adam is as the object of his eternal love. So when he says he loves, what is the requirement in love? It's sacrifice. There's a saying that love without sacrifice is just words. So you can say as many words as you want, but love without sacrifice is not love. So the essence of love is sacrifice. So it says in the Bible, the ransom, that I will lay down my life, meaning the one and only Son would make a sacrifice. For who? That he would sacrifice his life. He would lay down his life for us, for mankind. That he would sacrifice his love so that we can become his eternal objects of love. So this is the very sacrifices of God, that he would send his only one and only Son, and how he fulfilled his plan of loving mankind eternally. So Adam was an object of God's love. So angels are also spiritual beings, but man, the soul with flesh, was the object of God's love. So angels, because they do not have the flesh, they have no weakness. They have ability and are transcendent and superior to humans. So God did not create angels to love, but rather it's men who were created with flesh, with weakness, and that is why he created man as objects of his love. So he created man to be objects of his love, to receive his love, and in order to reveal his true love, he said, now because I love you this much, I want you to understand. But mankind sinned, and because of sin, they became slaves of the devil and were headed to hell with him. And when the Son of God came to become a ransom for mankind. In other words, he came as a sacrifice. So redemption and atonement are what redemption is. So there is atonement and redemption, and what it means is to purchase and pay a price. So Adam was created by God and belonged to God. But as he was deceived by the devil, he became a slave of the devil and was headed to hell. However, do you think God was saying, stop, stop? He didn't say that. As man belonged to the devil now, and therefore was destined to go to hell with him. So he didn't just take them back. But what he did was pay the price with his precious blood to pay their ransom. And this is his redemptive work. As we read in Isaiah 63:16, But you are our Father, and you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. So God, our Father, our Redeemer from of old. So I had preached about this. So when had he decided and said this? From of old, from everlasting, meaning in the beginning, before all creation, before man sinned, before the universe was created, before the spiritual heaven was created, before angels, in eternity, before anything was God there or not? Yes, God was there. There was no location or place, but he was existing. He is not someone contained in the spiritual heaven. Spiritual heaven was created because God said, let there be. And that's why the universe, angels, man, and sin came to be. So before anything was, from eternity, God is the Redeemer. The Redeemer. He is our Father. Our Father. So our Father is the origin and source of all living things. God created Adam to become a living being, and his Father is the Father God. So Adam sinned and was destined to go to hell with the devil. However, this was all part of the schedule of God according to his plan. So everything unfolded according to what God had planned. So when Adam sinned, God didn't say, I didn't know you would do that. Rather, God had already planned for this to happen, and it happened accordingly. So from of old, from everlasting, God is who? He is the Redeemer. So if he gave me one word in this year of 2022, it's the word Redeemer. Redeemer from of old, Redeemer from everlasting is just so shocking to me, and it brings me to tears that when there was nothing, God had already planned to become the Redeemer. And if he had the plan to become the Redeemer, there are sure to be objects of his redemption. So the objects of his redemption are not the perfect, are not the righteous, but those full of flaws and shortcomings, the sinners, to become the objects of his love. Before everything, in eternity, God set a plan to create sinners. Amen, hallelujah. So God had a plan to do this work of redemption, and that is why we see such events unfold, and how we see, in order to let us know this. So we see the history of the universe and the history of the world. So first, he said, do not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Had he not said that, man would not have sinned and become slaves of the devil and then headed to hell. And none of this would be needed. If there was no fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if they were not given the command to not eat, they would not have sinned and be headed to hell. And he didn't need to send his son to die on the cross. So if God just loved mankind, if he wanted them to be with him, he could have created them in heaven. He could have created man in heaven and just lived with them forever. So why did everything have to be so complicated, and so he even had to send his son to die in our place? This was for sacrifice, that his sacrifice was to reveal to us that love requires sacrifice, that God so loved us and now we are to love him. If this was told to Adam or the people under the law, this would not have been understood. So in order to redeem, we see all the works that took place for it to be fulfilled. So what is redemption? Redemption is to pay the price of and to take back. So to pay the price and rightfully make it yours. So for the work of redemption, what is needed? You need a sinner. And in order to make sin, you need events to create sin. And that's why he gave the command to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And through this came the original sin. And through the law, there is the formation of self-committed sins. So I told you to forget all your steps, your moves, because that's not important. So first, God is the Redeemer from of old. And in order for the work of redemption, he needed to create the objects for redemption, which are sinners. So for sinners, there needs to be condemnation. And that's why he gave the command to not eat for the original sin. And afterwards, he gave the law to the people of Israel, which then created the self-committed sins. And it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people. So through Adam's sin came death to all. So no one had known this in the past, but through the law, if they broke even one, they were deemed as sinners. And this was for them to acknowledge they are sinners. And sinners, what do they desire? What do they want? They want to be forgiven of sin. Isn't that the desire of sinners, to be forgiven and for someone to take their place? And that is when Jesus Christ appeared. So to people who said they weren't related to the original sin and have kept the law perfectly, Jesus said if they had lust in their heart, they committed adultery. And if they hated someone, then they've committed murder. And what are these referring to? It's the sins of desire. So through these three types of sins, through the times, the eras, they were to recognize that no one is without sin, that everyone has sin. So even if you hadn't committed adultery but had lust, so out of us, if you haven't committed adultery and never had lust, then raise your hand. So if so, you can shave your head and head to the mountains and live as a monk. So even monks have lust, as we know. So if you are human, everyone has this tendency to sin, these sins of desire. And the price of sin is death. It is hell. It's not just because of self-committed sins or sins of desire, but also the original sin, that all men are destined to hell through one man's sin. And finally, when God revealed his love to the greatest extent is when he sent his only begotten son, his one and only son, to die in our place, to redeem us. Hallelujah. So when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. So the Father loved since when? So God loved man since when? From eternity.
that before creation, that all living beings, all souls, he had a plan to love them from eternity. Before creation, he had a plan to redeem them, how to exchange his only begotten Son to save us. And through the love of the Father, the Son laid down his life. And through his death, he condemned the devil, the divider, and he redeemed the souls of all mankind to free them from sin. And the blood that he shed, the souls who receive this blood are redeemed, and they receive the Holy Spirit, who confirms in them the love of God. So this is how God's love was revealed. In 1 John chapter 4:10, it says, "This is love. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So this is love, that God loved us, and as a ransom, he sent his one and only Son. He completed this work. And because God the Father loves him, he raised him back up and took him to the Father's house, which is the kingdom of the Son of God, the kingdom of his love, where forever and ever they can experience the love of God forever and ever. And it's Jesus Christ who entered there first. He now sits on the throne and is called the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He bears the marks of being slain and sits on the throne, and forever and ever he is there. Meaning, he is the king who reigns over such kingdom. That he is the God of love, the very essence of love. And this is a kingdom where he governs. And in the kingdom of God, there is only love. There is no hatred, no separation or jealousy, but only love forever and ever. And he is the king who awaits us there. And shortly after, he sent the Holy Spirit to... So the Holy Spirit lets us know the love of God towards all men, that he sent his Son to become an atoning sacrifice. In order to reveal this and for us to know this love, he sent the Holy Spirit. And those who know this love and have received it, they live their lives even risking it to testify of this love. So if you have received the Holy Spirit, this is the heart of God, the heart of the Father. Say amen if you've received the Holy Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the three persons of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who lets us know and experience the love of God, and is why he comes to us. The Lord is our Father. He is our Redeemer and is from of old. From everlasting, he is our Redeemer. In order for us to know this realistically, he puts so much effort for us to know this, that even in human terms, he expresses this. For example, in the Old Testament, there was a man named David who was king and was great at politics. And however, he had a son named Absalom. So Absalom, he wanted to steal his throne. He wanted to become the king. And therefore, he tried to bring shame to his father and did many wicked things. And what he did was he slept with his father's concubines in broad daylight, and therefore brought him great shame. So there's no such son who would do such a wicked and vile thing. And he also caused much conflict and war, and he was such a horrible son. And throughout the battles, the target was Absalom, that they wanted to put him to death, thinking that this would bring joy and peace to the king and to their nation. So
they caught him and they put him to death.
So they brought this news thinking the king would be happy and welcome this news. So the messenger came to tell this great news, but what did the king say? The father asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And the messenger said, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." So David realized that his son was dead, and he was just so heartbroken that he wept bitterly, saying, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom." He kept repeating this, "My son Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, if only I had died instead of you." He wept. Now, this is the love of a father. So our Father, Lord, you are our Father and Redeemer. Even though God took on the sins of all mankind, all the shame and insults, all the persecution and misunderstandings, but God, he did not resent mankind or hate them, but was like David crying, "My son Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, if only I had died instead of you." So like that, God had in plan to become the Redeemer, and even to mankind who hurled insults at his one and only son who put him to death, God revealed his love to them. So on Christmas, we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." So while some people of the world sing jingle bells and jingle bells and are full of joy, but the moment that God, the Son of God, came in the flesh, the moment our Redeemer was born in the flesh, there's no news that brings greater joy than this. But this, the plan he set in eternity, and for it to be fulfilled, was when his suffering began. The suffering of Christ began the moment he came in the flesh. The God who is omnipotent and almighty, not limited by space or time or anything, came to this limited place. In limited time and space he came, and this marked the beginning of his suffering. But just like he cried, "Absalom, Absalom, I wish I had died in your place," God came, the Son of God came in the flesh to receive the suffering and to be delivered to death. God, who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who sent his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that is our Father God. And we have to think deeply of his heart. So this is what has been on my mind lately. So we say Yeshua, Yeshua, and think of only Yeshua and love Yeshua. But is that enough? For we also have to think of our Father God, who sent his one and only Son. So who is God that he would make such a decision, and that he would put so much effort throughout history to fulfill this? It's just too amazing. It's amazing. This is something that only God alone can do. Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom. This is the cry of Father God. This is the heart of the Father God. His heartbroken and painful heart was expressed through David. The Bible also talks of another father in the New Testament. We read of the prodigal son, that the son goes to the world and endures great hardship, and he ultimately realizes that he needs to return to his father's house, and does so. Because the father waited for his son all this time, the moment he sees his son, he runs out and welcomes and embraces him and he does not ask about his past. He does not ask about his past or the wrongs committed, but welcomes and embraces him unconditionally. And therefore, the relationship is restored and they celebrate. This is the heart of the Father, like the heart of the Father who cries out, "Absalom, Absalom," and also the heart of the Father who awaits for his son's return. This is all the heart of the Father. As ones who receive this love, now when we love God, we ought to love him as our Father, as we love Jesus Christ. With his body, he suffered and he shed his blood to give birth to our souls, and we love the Father God who gave birth to us. And when we love our brothers and sisters, as they are also the children of God, we ought to love one another as well. Also, the souls who still do not know of this, we love their souls, because there are still souls who do not know the love of the Father and are headed to hell. And as he waits for one more soul to turn back and turn to him, he has not come back yet. And those who know this go out to share this with others, and those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can those who do not know, who do not believe, be saved? So now we ought to be messengers who bring this good news to them. So we have heard many sermons through the 2022 and of many of God's attributes, but we heard the sermon that I, the soul, needs to hear. But how can we return to the Father's house? How can we bring one more soul to the Father's house? We have to know God. Who is he? He is love. He in eternity had a plan to love us and to become the Redeemer. That through his own sacrifice, we've received his love, and as his love is unchanging, we can return to the Father's house. Today, no matter how far we have strayed, even if it is 10 meters away, we turn back. And even if past that distance, then we turn back to him. No matter wherever we may be, we turn back to the Father's house. For the Father loves us and he waits for us to return. And when we turn to him, he will not ask about our past, but will embrace and welcome us. So as he awaits us, let us all return to the Father. Let us pray.